Very much. We're in new Nehemiah, chapter number 3. Thank you very much, orchestra. I especially appreciate your participation in chapel. Just most of us, we're just glad to get in the room and sit down and find our place and do that. But I really appreciate the people who come and bring an instrument, get it prepared, and wet their reed or get the violin or the cello tuned and get it moved here. Just to really appreciate. If you appreciate the chapel orchestra and chapel, would you say amen? I do appreciate them and thank you very much. You guys are amazing. I love being with you. Just for a few moments this morning, I want to go back to Nehemiah chapter number 3. Nehemiah chapter 1, Nehemiah gets the word, he gets a burden, he begins to pray. He prays that God will give him favor with the king of Babylon because he was the king's cupbearer. Chapter 2, at least 120 days goes by, 4 months in the month of Nisan, then God begins to work in the king's heart. He sees him with a fallen countenance, so what's wrong with you, and gets a chance to go back. He goes back with the king's permission, the provision, the protection of the king, and he makes his way back to Jerusalem from Babylon or from Shushan the palace. They go all the way back, and of course he's picked up the wood. He does a night scope and begins to look around and see the situation. Immediately he's met by adversity with Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem the Arabian. They have lots of things that bother them about the arrival of Nehemiah because they're seeking the help of the God's people, number one. Number two, they're bullies. They're critics. They're monopolized and they're enjoying the opportunity to be in charge of this chaos. They're creating chaos and they like it that way. And they have issues, and we're going to learn more about them in chapter number 4. But the Lord uses Nehemiah to do his midnight ride, comes back, and he tells the people, you've seen the situation we're in. And he said, it's not good. I want to tell you about two things. Number one, God's hand is upon me, and the king has given me favor. He goes, I've got the hand of God upon me, and the king give me favor. And after they heard that, we can do something about it. They said, let us rise up and build. And they had some negative people, but they had some positive people. And with that, very quickly, he began the work of building. There were how many gates around the city? How many gates were there? Remember how many gates we talked about last time? 10. 10 gates, and each of them kind of give a little bit of the scenario and the progress of a Christian life, starting at salvation and being soul winning, dealing with the old man, going through trials, working with the flesh, the dung gate, the flesh there, the work of the Holy Spirit in our life, the work of the Word of God in our life, the coming of Christ, and then judgment. Each of those 10 gates represent a part of your life as you're going from salvation till we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And all that's going to happen between that time in the life of a believer. But I want to talk today a little bit about the people that built the gates and hung the gates and built the walls. There were priests who did it. There were lords who did it. There were men of Jericho that they were not really from the nation of Israel. They're outsiders that helped them in the building of that. There were ladies that were involved. There was a son of apothecary or a son of the pharmacist. He did not have skills of building things and very little much a ragtag group. And yet they followed leadership and God used them in a great way. What would happen? There would be several things happen. In chapter 4, you'll see adversity comes against them. And these things are slowed down because instead of working on building the walls, they're having to keep a sword in one hand and a trowel in another. Instead of being able to just work like they were working, they had to slow down. They had to stop. And they had to watch for enemies. And one guy had to watch, another guy had to work. And it slowed down the work of God there. And that still happens today. There are many things that we could be a lot farther in our work with the Lord Jesus Christ and things. But we have protests and demonstrations. And we have negative things on Facebook and things we have to battle. There are lawsuits and situations where people come. There are breaches of our computers. Lots of things slow up the process of the gospel. We have to kind of work through them. We have to figure out how to do it. And these are my challenges as a pastor, First Baptist, but you're going to have challenges too. They're going to come and they're going to slow down the process of things. You oftentimes will say, we could be so much further if. We didn't have the debt. If we had better facilities, if things were not, if we just had more help, all kinds of things you could think about. But yet, he just saw the problem that he has, and he says, okay, let's go to work. And he challenges people, most of which, to start where they are. Wherever you live on the wall, this is your area. And that's the best place to start. Any situation. We had a missionary that we were evaluating to go to a foreign field that I would want him to go to. We would like to have another missionary on that field. I don't think we even have one missionary there. And I was excited about it. But then we send out a questionnaire and ask, how many people have you led to the Lord this year or gotten engaged in the conversation with? And there was not one in 365 days that they had led to the Lord. And I want them to change that. Hopefully they'll work on that. But the truth of the matter is, if you're not winning people to Christ here, who's to say you're going to be winning the people to Christ somewhere else? We got to start where we are. If we're not faithful as a college student, what, we're going to be faithful as a staff member, as an assistant pastor, or somewhere else? If we cannot keep our purity right when we're young and dumb, I'm sorry, not the dumb part there. When we're young, who's going to say we'll be able to keep our purity when we've got 75 teenagers around us? And those kind of things will crash and burn. So there's things we got to do. We got to start on our home front. And they did. They started on the home front. They began to work around where they were. He got them assigned. He said, but you take this. I want you to notice the variety of the people that were used. Even the priest got involved. And I thought that was kind of neat. And some of the rulers did. And some of the rulers put not their neck to the work. Some of those folks who had abilities, they just weren't willing to do it. And listen, let me say to you, real quickly, sometimes you need to do more than other people because you can. And to make up for people who could do something but don't. Some of you precious girls, you'll have to be watching the nursery 3 times a month for someone who could watch it once who won't. Some of you guys are going to learn to get your, some of you guys could by now have your CDL, but you're kicking the can. And other people are having to find other people to drive. And you could drive, but you won't. There's some things that you could do, and you have to do extra, more than other people, for those who could do it, but they won't. Some people could give, but they won't give. You've got to understand that and put your big boy britches on and understand that's just ministry. Can't spend a lot of time fighting people who don't want to do it. If they don't want to do it, you know, there's something that God puts inside of yielded believers, and that's a willing heart. God likes a heart that wants to, not what has to. So blessed by my precious Linda, my wife. And, you know, she does things for me because she wants to. I'm sure there's sometimes she doesn't want to do it, but she knows that's needful for me. She wants to say, well, let me get this for you. Let me do that. Let me take that load off of you. And, you know, it's not because she has to, because she gets to. And when that spirit comes, if she said, here, I hope you'll like it. You know, boy, I tell you what, I would still eat it. Yes, I would. But I'm glad that I don't have to, like, I hope you'll like it. No, it's because I get to do this for you. I want you to like it. And you know, the truth of the matter is God wants us to serve the Lord with gladness and readiness to receive that. Here's a couple things I want to share with you for just chapter 3. Number one, diligence is a priority in ministry. This college, the work of the Lord, and one of the things I love about coming back to First Baptist Church of Hammond is I see very obviously there's a lot of hardworking people in this ministry. You don't run 80 buses a week without hardworking people. You don't take care of properties that we have unless we have hardworking people. You don't have a clean campus without hardworking people. It's unbelievable the work that goes on from a Sunday night when we leave the auditorium until we come back on Wednesday night at First Baptist Church of Hammond. It's people that have to get together, and could you imagine that facilities? There's scores and hundreds of classrooms all over that, and every one of them gets attention between Sunday night and Saturday night. Somebody has to do that. That's not done on spare time and pocket change. There's work. To have an orchestra, it's work. The reason I don't play the instrument is because it was a lot of work when I was young. I didn't do it. I probably had opportunities to do it. I just didn't do it. But these people over here that play this, they're characterized by diligence. You don't just pick up something and start playing it. You don't just pick up a trumpet and start blowing it. You don't know what you're doing unless you put the work in. Brother Collins and the organization of even a Christmas lights program that we'll just go, we'll plop down our $15 and take it and go. But the truth of the matter is, it's a lot of work. Someone's got to drive the bus. Someone's got to find a place to park the bus. Someone's got to sit on the bus while other people are having a good time. It's work. And laziness is the scourge of the ministry. I don't want to be a lazy pastor. I don't want you to be a lazy servant of Christ. And as an MO, as a general, I don't think you are. I think you're some of the hardest working group of young people in your age group of any place on the world. And I really admire that. And I want you to continue doing that. I want you to think about, hey, listen, if it's easy, if you want to take the side road out, ask yourself, what's the best thing to do here? Not what's easy, not what's convenient, not what's comfortable, not what's better for me. What is the best thing to do? Do I turn this bus back in dirty, or do I keep it cleaner than when it was when I got here? If someone spilled ice cream on the seat, am I just going to say, well, poor people, they'll have to try that on Monday morning? Or am I going to get a wet wipe, I'm going to get a water and get a paper towel and take care of that? If I spilled some Kool-Aid there, am I going to say, you know what, I'm sure the bus company will have someone mop it, or are you going to take care of it? The difference between that is work. It's extra. Discipling people. The reason we don't disciple people, because it's more work. It's investment. It's time. It's effort. It's energy. But work is an important part. It's all through the Bible. Jesus said, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. John chapter 9 and verse number 4. He says to his believers, he said, look, my Father works and I work. Of all the things he could have said, he said, my father works and I work too. All of us ought to be about work. I was watching ants work the other day. Do you have that video up there, brother? I was over in Nicaragua, and I was getting ready to go to a church, and I looked off to the right, and I saw this little hole in the concrete, and I watched these ants as they were to go. You can see them there. Here they're carrying something like a little plant or a little thing. They're carrying it, and it's half the size that they are. And they're rolling in there, and they're coming, and they keep putting their whatever's inside that hole. They take it back in there, and then they go back. They come back empty, and that guy passed them up. This guy's going there trying to find his way. He can't see very good because it's in front of him. He goes in there. These folks are coming in. And what you'll see about an ant, they have no leader, no guider. No one is going to say, come on, come on, come on, come on. No one is saying, hey, you got to prepare. You got to study. Come on, you got to get ready. You're going to have exams coming. There's something intrinsically inside of them that keeps it going. So I think about that. I watched those ants for a few minutes and I videoed that. I thought to myself, that's the way we all ought to be. In Proverbs chapter 6, consider the ant, thou sluggard, which having no guide or overseer, there was something inside of them that said, you know what? I've got a purpose bigger than some drill sergeant yelling at me and telling me to do it. No one's got to tell me to make my bed. I'm not going to have to be inspected by that. That's on me. You know why you make your bed, why you don't make your bed? Work. Importance. No one's going to have to tell me to iron my clothes. I'm going to figure that out. I'm going to do that. I'm going to be careful with that. I'm going to take care of those things. The simple things that people say, what does it matter? It's my life. I can do what I want to. You can, but you're going to limit and shortchange yourself. And oftentimes, the difference between the men and the boys is work. Someone who is conscientious in the little things, financial things and God things, and oftentimes it's work. It takes time and effort. He said, if you're not careful, if you're not a hard worker, he said, you'll be like one that becomes like an armed man. You have to resort to illegal means to get what you want. There are people in prison today that sit right here in this room. And the reason they are in prison is because they went to illegal means to get something else they want rather than work for it. Like an armed man or one that traveleth. You know, there are oftentimes, and I know that God moves people from different places, and I am an example of that. I left here, went to Long Beach, California, thought I was going to live there the rest of my life. Then I ended up going to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, where I served for 7 years, and then I went back. I had to go away from Long Beach to go back to Long Beach. Went back there and spent 13 years there, and then the Lord brought me here. But I will say this, not one place I ever moved did I want to move. I didn't want to move. I wanted to stay where I was. But God made it obvious. But you know, some folks, they just move because they're tired of the work. They have to learn message. Some guys will move from place to place because they can just re-preach all their messages over again. They won't have to study anymore. You don't have to work your way through problems. You have to just continue to stay and work through it. And you get used to just kind of moving on like and transition out of problems instead of transforming through them. It's going to cause you some problems. And laziness. He said, so you see a man diligent in his business, he'll stand before kings and not stand before the average or mean men. You want someone to tell you what to do the rest of your life? Tell someone else to make the rules for you? Be a lazy person. Proactive people usually get to be their own boss. They even if they work for someone else, they don't have to be hovered over. No one has to come and tell them, you're doing this, you're doing this. They figured it out because the diligence caused them to do that. If a man doesn't work, neither should he eat. Diligence is a major priority in ministry, and laziness is discouraging. If you, all of us have some laziness inside of us. We want to take the road of least resistance. We want to just make it easy for us. And there's nothing wrong with something being efficient. But don't make your easiness your goal. Efficiency will be good, but be willing to work hard. At work, work hard. People that work hard, God blesses them. I want you to notice something else, and we'll close with this, but you've got to understand that teamwork makes the dream work. You need to be a team player. You're on this wall of Christianity, but you got your little section, but you need people over there to do their job. And they need you to do your job. The team acrostic, together, everyone accomplishes more. Can you say that with me, with the team? Together, everyone. Yeah, if everybody works together. I had a lady come to me, I'm not a team player. And I said, I know. Everyone knows. She didn't have to tell me. I already know. She clogs up things rather than helps things. She competes instead of completes. She complicates instead of compliments. You don't want to do that. You want to be a team player. You want to work with people that are around you. And you want to learn to figure it out. That no one is going to be exactly like you. Every once in a while I have people that struggle. Well, I think you got to do it this way. I think I do that. You know, listen, if you're the boss, do it the way you want to do it. If you're not the boss at the time, figure it out. Find out what you can do and you see the need and take the lead and make it better. You're never going to find a perfect church, a perfect school, a perfect organization. So you got to find an imperfect one and get in there and try to make it better. That's what we're going to do. And no one, he wasn't asking for perfection. They had such a mess, they just needed some more bricks, stack on another brick and some mortar done and hang a door and try to secure a city. And everybody got involved and they said, you know what? All of us can work together. We'll work hard and we'll work as a team. And boy, when a team gets together, you see a route that works together, you see a Sunday school department that works together, you see a junior church that works together, you got something good going there. You see a husband and wife who work as a team and a tandem. They understand they're the yin and the yang. They have strengths and weaknesses, and they combine that. That is a beautiful thing. But it takes teamwork. It takes a mentality. We'll talk more about that later. Let's pray together, can we? Where you are this morning, we just ask God, Lord, help me to be a diligent and help me to be a team player. Can you say that with me, everyone together? Lord, help me to be and help me to be. One more time. Help me to be and help me to be. That'd be a great prayer. I'm praying it for me and I hope you'll pray it for you. God, help me to be a hardworking, diligent participant in your work and then help me to be a team player. Help me to care about other people and work in humility so that we can get things done for the glory of God and the good of others. Father, thank you for this group of young people. I pray you bless them. Help those that are finishing up their school days and their student teaching. I got to see them earlier this morning at Hammond Baptist and yesterday at City Baptist, seeing some folks coming there. I pray you bless them and help them. I pray that God, you would help us to be diligent in our studies, so that we don't beg and harvest and have nothing. Help us not to be excuse givers, but help us to be hard workers. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.